Here at Crosspoint, we support a number of missionaries, and one of them is Brian Lusky and his family, and they are in Japan, and we got introduced to them a few years ago now, 2021, and then they've been out on the, we went over to Japan in 2022, and it's pretty cool to see how God is using Brian to be able to mobilize people to share Jesus and to multiply disciples and churches in Japan. And so I want to welcome him up today because he's going to share the message with us. And so give Brian a warm welcome here as he prepares to share the word with us.
How are we doing, church? 皆さん、おはようございます。また会ってとても嬉しいです。Good to see you. Good morning. It's so good to be with you again. I almost didn't make it here this morning. I got to tell you, I feel like there was just a lot of spiritual warfare happening. This week, my youngest daughter went to the ER, and so my wife was supposed to be here with me today. I was like, you got to come out to Cross Point with me when we get back to the States. And unfortunately, my daughter, she's okay, but she went to the ER. She kind of fell off, had a little bit of accident on a scooter, and then got COVID on top of it at the same time. She had 102 fever. We're like, okay, that's enough. You can stay, Rachel, and do that. And then there was a global outage, right, on when it comes to computers. And so I was supposed to fly out on Friday. I texted Pastor Matt. I said, I don't know if I'm going to make it. My flight got canceled. I'm coming out of Ohio. And they said, okay, well, you can't fly to tomorrow. And we're gonna reroute you. We're going to send you to JFK. I'm like, that's the opposite direction. But okay. So yesterday I was kind of traveling all day, and it was crazy in the airports. The three airports I was in, it was crazy at the rental car, but I made it. I was texting him like, hey, no need to, you know, do an emergency sermon. We got this. So thankful to be here, Crosspoint. Grateful to be back with you and to be here. It's been about 3 years since I was able to be with you. But for those of you who are new or don't know me, just to start off a little bit about me, my name is Brian, along with my wife, Rachel, and our two daughters, Chloe and Hannah. We are your missionaries to Japan. And we serve with Converge, and our team is called the Japan Initiative. Converge's mission is focused on least reached people groups all over the world. In fact, our mission statement is, we are asking God for a gospel movement among every least reached people group in our generation. This includes the Japanese, who are the second largest unreached people group on earth at around 125 million people. And so I serve as the Japan Initiative leader, which means that I lead our team of missionaries that does ministry among the Japanese, mostly in Japan, but we do have a few missionaries that actually live and work here in the U.S. doing work with Japanese folks that move here for work or for school as well. My family lives just outside of Tokyo in a town called Tokorozawa, but originally we come from Erie, Pennsylvania, up on the Great Lakes, and I served there as a pastor for almost 20 years. A lot of our new team, and so I served there, and Erie shares a lot of similarities, I think, with this area, with Minnesota. It's really cold in the winter in our city, not quite as cold as it gets here, but we sometimes get more snow, actually, just kind of where we're situated on the lake. We're one of the snowiest cities in the U.S. every single year, and so they have a word for that in Japan as far as people that are comfortable with cold. I'm comfortable with cold, and I hate the heat. They call it atsugari, someone who can't handle the heat. That's me. I'm the kind of guy that would crack a window in January, just a little bit, let some of that cold in. I love the cold. I love the snow. And so a couple of weeks ago, I was flying out to Dallas for some ministry. We happen to have a couple of people that are joining our team and coming out to be missionaries full time with us. We're so thankful the Lord's answered that prayer and is building and equipping our team. Not all of them, but a lot of them, quite a few of them, happen to be in churches around the Dallas area. And so I was like, hey, well, I'm in the States. I should go and see some of these folks that are mobilizing and not quite 100% support raised yet, but they're kind of doing that. And so let's go out. And I preached at a church down there. So I get on the plane to go. And as we're flying in and descending into Dallas, the flight attendant gets on the call and she says, hey, everyone, what I need you to do right now is I need you to close the windows. Everyone needs to close all their shades in the windows because we're up here in the atmosphere right now and it's cold, but as we get down, it's gonna get really hot. It's above 100 degrees in Dallas right now. And as we taxi on the tarmac, she said, we're gonna be taxiing for about 15, 20 minutes and we don't really have a lot of air conditioning power once we're on the mat. I'm like, what? So they're like, close everything so we can keep the heat out. And I was like, that is a bad sign. I left and it was 68 degrees in Erie. Can I go back? And so we get there and we taxi, it was a little hot, and I get out to the rental car place and I get in my rental car. And you know the thermometers on the car, it's a nice new car, it's got all the things. It reads 108 degrees. And I was like, what? My wife goes, what does that feel like? She wasn't with me. She's like, what does that feel like, 108 degrees? I go, you know when you're at a campfire and it's just like you're trying to roast something and it's too hot. It's like you get too close and you're not burning yet, but you feel like your pants and your shirt are getting really hot and you need to step back. It's like that, except there's nowhere to go. You're just ever slow, slightly burning all the time when you're outside. That's what it's like. And so I was thinking, man, I do not belong here. I'm a snow guy. I do not want to be in this place. This is not where I belong. But we had a great time in Dallas. But I just had that feeling of like, get me back to where I belong. And that's just me. I don't know about you, but maybe you felt at some point like you didn't belong somewhere. And I'm talking less in a literal, like a funny way, like the weather, and more like in a spiritual sense in your life. That feeling like you're not where you're supposed to be. I went through a period like that. Most of us in life at some point go through life and we try to figure out where we fit, where we belong. We want to find purpose. We want to find meaning. And so we want to be a part of a mission that's bigger than ourselves that fits. And when you find yourself on mission, it feels like even though there are sometimes challenges, even though there are sometimes struggles, that all of that is compensated for by knowing you're where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing. Some of you may have found that feeling in life. Some of you may have found it for a season in family or friends or work. But maybe you're here today, and if you're honest, you're still feeling a little out of place. You're still looking for that place where you can really feel like you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. Or maybe you're here and you're just lost the drive altogether in the daily grind. Like if you're honest, you're like, Brian, honestly, I got too many kids' activities. I feel like a taxi. I got too much pressure at work. I got too many responsibilities. I do not have time in my life to think about some big meaning for my life or what my purpose in life is. I'm just coasting through this life. Now, if that's you, if either one of those is you, if you're here and you're feeling that way, then I'm here to tell you the church is a good place for you to be this morning. And for anyone here who isn't a Christian, I just want to talk to you for just a second. First of all, we're so glad that you're here. So glad that you're part of the Crosspoint community. Welcome. And today we're going to be talking about one of the foundational missions that Jesus gives to all believers, all Christians. And so today you just get to kind of listen in on this one as we talk to the believers about what they're supposed to do as they follow Christ. But I want you to consider something as you listen, and that is this, that Christians believe in something called the gospel. And the gospel, just simply put, it means good news. And you might say, well, what good news is that? It's the good news that God loves you and provided a way for you to have a relationship with him through his son, Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says that you and I, and all of humanity, have experienced relational brokenness. Brokenness within ourselves, brokenness with other people, but most importantly, brokenness in our relationship with God. Now, it wasn't always this way, but once God and our relationships were broken through sin, God lost face and we experienced shame. And our shame and our brokenness separated us from God. And there was nothing we could do about that in and of ourselves. We couldn't get back into that ourselves. And so the story of the Bible is a story of God sending his son Jesus. He came to live a life without shame to restore brokenness in relationships. In fact, it says that he went so far as to die on a cross in our place, taking our shame and restoring us to our rightful place in relationship with God. And we are now welcomed into the family of God. God has made us sons and daughters. That's incredible. That's good news. This gospel, this good news is that story and the reality that God has given us the opportunity to receive that restoring of our relationships with him, not because we earned it, not because of anything in ourselves, but because he chooses to love us and restore us. What we need to do is to surrender ourselves to Jesus, to trust in him as our Lord and Savior, and then follow him. And as we do that, we get changed from the inside out. So Christians are people who have chosen to follow Jesus, to be free of sin and shame, and to find their true identity as sons and daughters in God's family. Now, if that's what you believe, wouldn't you want to tell others about that good news? Shouldn't you want to share that good news? And there was a time in my life where I was not a Christian, where I was not walking with God, didn't believe that the Bible was real or true. And even then, I realized that if you truly believe that Jesus was the way to salvation, to that restoration of relationship with God that I was talking about, that if you believe that, and then you never told anybody about that, that would be supremely unloving. Like, how much do you have to hate someone if you know that there's freedom and joy to be found in God and Jesus and never tell anyone else about that sort of love? And so even then, before I was a Christian, even then, before I believed that it was true, I still respected Christians when they told other people about Jesus, because I knew that that was the only thing to do, loving thing to do, if you truly believe in the Bible and in God, because it truly is life-changing. And so if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I just want to say to you, maybe today consider the idea that God loves you and wants a relationship with you. Just something you can think about while you listen in on this message. Now, let me turn back to the Christians in the room here today and say this. Those that follow Jesus, those of us who follow Jesus, oftentimes we have found a deeper sense of meaning and purpose, of belonging. That kind of feeling that isn't a season, but lasts for something longer than that. But real talk, church, even if you are a Christian, I mean, come on, let's just be real. You can still struggle with this finding purpose and meaning in life, can't you? You can just go through seasons like, God, I just don't know. What do you want for me in my life? What mission might you have for me? What is my purpose? Have you ever been there? I've been there. Maybe you're there today and you're like, honestly, that's where I'm at, Brian. The good news is that we don't have to wonder. We don't have to wonder about what our mission is. Christ has already given it to us in his word. And now it's true at times, God gives us something more specific for our life in the moment. Right, a next step for us or wisdom for a particular situation we're going through. But in a larger sense, God's word has already put us on mission while we're on this earth. In Matthew chapter 28, Jesus has already been crucified and buried and raised from the dead, and he's giving some of his last instructions to the disciples after the resurrection, and he says this. Matthew 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now, can we go back to the beginning of that verse, one slide? That word there, go and make disciples of all nations, that word in the Greek is actually ethne. It doesn't mean geopolitical states. It doesn't mean countries. It means people groups. Ethne means people groups. It means people that have a shared culture and history or language. And so Jesus says, go and make disciples of all the ethne, of all the people groups on earth. That is the main mission of every follower of Jesus. And he lays it out right here clearly. And so if you're a Christian, you don't need to worry about what God's plan is for your life. We already know to be a disciple of Jesus means not just to hear his words, but to do what he says. And just for a moment again, if you're not a Christian in the room, realize what this passage means. Christianity didn't come from America. It's not an American faith. It comes from the Middle East. And it spread from there to every corner of the world. That's what makes Christianity so unique. It's that it's truly a faith for all people. It's a faith for all cultures, all the ethne. And so consequently, we come to this conclusion that to be a disciple of Jesus means, at least in part, that we go and we make disciples of all the people groups. That's the what. But we also have this parallel account of some of Jesus' last words in the book of Acts. I asked you to turn to Acts chapter 1. So this passage, Acts chapter 1, we're going to be starting in verse 7. It expands on Matthew 28 and gives us the where and the how that we're going to do this great commission. In what context are we going to be called to make disciples? And how do we go about doing that? In the beginning of the book of Acts, Jesus is giving his very last words to his disciples, instructions for them going forward. He tells them to temporarily remain in Jerusalem until they receive the Holy Spirit. And then the disciples ask him if he's going to restore the earthly kingdom of Israel. They're kind of thinking in this old school way about how the Messiah was supposed to come. And he answers them like this, verse 7. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times and seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And so Jesus reminds them that trying to guess about the timing of prophecy or when he will return is not their job. They need to trust in the timing of God. Then he reiterates that they will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he calls them to be witnesses. And I studied this word in the Greek this week. Witness is a very interesting word because in this passage, it not only has the connotation of one who proclaims the truth of what they saw and experienced. It means that. But also, it means someone who would be the embodiment of that truth. that they would live it out. And so in a sense, the disciples are being told that they will be sharers of the gospel, yes, but also that they will be little Christs, living out the truth of the gospel to the ends of the earth. This is a call, not only for the disciples, but for everyone who calls Jesus Lord. You and I have been given the same promise that the Holy Spirit will dwell with us, that we will receive power, and that we will proclaim the good news about Jesus, making disciples of all the ethne, all the people groups, all the nations. And so that's our big idea for today, that God has called you to be a witness in every context, overcoming every challenge, and with every confidence in him as the center. You are called by God no matter what the context, whether it's near or far, whether it's someone from a different culture or someone who's a member of your own family. You're called through every challenge, come what may, whether internal, external struggle, and with supreme confidence that the one who called you to do it will supply you with whatever you need to accomplish it. And so for the rest of our time, what we're gonna do is we'll look at each one of these in the context of the book of Acts and dive deeper so we can get a good understanding. First, every context. You're called to be a witness in every context. When Jesus calls the disciples to be witnesses, he uses four places or regions to illustrate to what extent they are to go. He mentions Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. These span the gaps of geographical distance, but they also span the gaps of relational distance, cultural differences as well. So you have Jerusalem and Judea. These are places that represent both geographically and culturally close people. It's a place where there were many other Jews, just like the disciples, but where people shared a similar history and culture and language. And then you have Samaria. Samaria was a place that was geographically pretty near, but culturally very far. These were people that the Jews didn't want to associate with, who they had long-standing cultural differences with. And then you have the ends of the earth, so people who are both geographically and culturally distant. And so Jesus is saying, the influence I want you to have, the involvement in spreading the gospel I have in mind for you, stretches out to every type of relationship you have. And so go, yes, make disciples amongst your family, and go and make disciples in your neighborhood, yes, but also go and make disciples in your city, and go and make disciples in your region and in the world. Your involvement is going to stretch into every context. And that part is pretty clear for most of us who read this text, but here's where some churches get this passage wrong. Now, some churches read this passage and they go, okay, we get it. First of all, we'll reach our neighborhoods first, and then we'll have a good handle on that and we'll reach our region. And then after that, hopefully someday we'll get to going out and reaching the world. And that is not what this text says. You get these graphics, the kind of graphic like this. You see the church, it looks like a bullseye and concentric circles. It all seems pretty good. But here's the problem with that. The text doesn't say, and then, and then, and then. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and then in Judea and then in Samaria. And then it says, you'll be my witnesses and. It has the connotation of at the same time. In the same time, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so if we're not careful, here's what I'm saying. If we're not careful, we can end up committing the and then heresy, where you assume that you don't need to worry too much about the ends of the earth part in your own personal life because you've got enough to worry about right here. Isn't that, it's tempting to think about that way, right? But God's intention is different for you and for me. God's desire was, and it still is, to see the church engage in all of these areas in a relatively short space of time. And so when I say the church, I don't just mean the disciples, I mean the people of God, I mean you and me as well. And in your life, how are you engaging in each of these areas? How are you making disciples in your neighborhood, your workplace, your city, this region, and the world? Now, this is normally where the pastor would say, who's preaching, would say, well, not all of us go. Some of us send, some of us raise up, encourage, and pray, and send out. And that's true, it is. But I don't want to go there yet. Because in a room of this size, I believe that God is calling someone here to go, to really go, and maybe to go long term. Guys, I didn't think I would be a missionary. That was not the plan for my life. I didn't wake up at 12 and say, I want to be a missionary. That's some people's story, but it's not mine. I was very happy to stay in Northwest Pennsylvania and be a pastor until I retired. That was my plan for my life. But when we're open to the voice of God, we must be open to him calling you to a radical discipleship, to selling your home and moving to another city, or moving to another state, and sometimes moving to another country. So I was sitting with a buddy of mine this week, catching up in person after being apart for almost 2 years, and he told me that he was at a conference 2 weeks ago talking, and someone was talking about church planting, and he just felt God tug in his heart, touch him on the shoulder, say, maybe you should be thinking about doing church planting. And I gotta tell you, that is not him. That's not the plan that he has for his life, far from it. But he called his wife that night, and he was really, it was really pretty specific, to leave Pennsylvania and go to a specific place in Washington State across the country. And he's telling me, he's like, I don't know what God's doing, but I this happened, and I gotta just, I'm processing, I'm praying about it. And he was telling me, and I don't know what God's gonna do with him, but I just, as I heard him talking about this and being faithful and processing and being open to it even, to this potentially radical change, I was just so thankful. His name's Keith. I'm so thankful to my friend Keith for being willing to be open to hearing the voice of God and saying yes no matter what the call was. I got another friend who's taking a trip with his wife in the near future to a country I can't mention along the Mediterranean to pray about whether to leave his job and take his kids and family to minister among Muslim people groups. And he hasn't wanted to be a missionary his whole life either, but he felt God nudge his heart towards this call to all believers to go and make disciples of all the ethne. And I believe God's calling someone from Crosspoint to the Great Commission too, to live and to minister among an unreached people group, whether it's in Japan or somewhere else in Asia or Africa or the Middle East. And I just don't want to blow past that. I mean, I could just open this text and go back. Don't worry, guys. Don't worry. But I don't want to. I want to open the word of God and remain faithful and call you to something challenging that maybe here in this room there is someone, and to stop for a second and say, is that you? Is it you that God's tapping on the shoulder today to go? I'm a big believer that local churches are the ones who send. It's not organizations like our organization that's sending organization. We don't send. Local churches send. And that this need is so great. 40% of the world lives in a context where there is no adequate access to the gospel. We're talking 3 billion people, guys. And so we need to prayerfully look at passages like Acts 1:8 and the Great Commission and say, we're not just sending our resources, but we're sending our own sons and daughters. And I think we get afraid sometimes that we're gonna look like entitled Westerners, that maybe we shouldn't send anyone anymore in this day and age. I hear some people say, just let the nationals do it. And we wanna work with national workers everywhere we can. But in unreached people groups, when it's less than 2%, there aren't enough national believers to effectively reach their own culture. And so what then? What then, guys? It's true, some missionaries have been sent out in an unhealthy way, unprepared, and we should do everything in our power to train them up and send out our missionaries so that they don't go with the wrong attitude. But if you go humbly, God will supply and use you. And so I'm here to tell you this morning, we cannot outsource the Great Commission. We can't just leave it up to other people somewhere else in another country. Not when 70,000 people who die every day in unreached people groups have never heard the gospel every single day. And so we have to be willing to have our own skin in the game too. That's why I'm thankful Crosspoint is a sending church. And I'm looking forward to seeing the next one, the next person being sent out, and seeing someone from here sent out to somewhere in the world where the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Are we okay? You're looking at me like, oof, I was not ready for this today, right? Now that I've got that out of the way, I can say, not everyone goes. Not everyone is called to go and move to another country. We need people who will send and mobilize and prepare and encourage and pray. No missionary can succeed without a support team of people who are sending them and sustaining them. We need people who are radically reaching out to people in their neighborhoods right here in Hutchinson, and people who are meeting the community needs of the larger region in Minnesota through faith-based initiatives and nonprofits. We need those who will welcome people from other cultures who move here for work and for school, and people who will serve in the church by volunteering and building up the body right here at Crosspoint, while at the same time having a touch with the world somewhere. Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. So what I'm saying, guys, is God uses the whole church to reach the whole world. God uses the whole church to reach the whole world. You see, getting involved in global missions is not just for those, you know, those missions people, right? Sometimes I used to think that way, right? That's what we've done. We've relegated global missions and missions to being an optional ministry for some believers. It's not an optional ministry for some. It's a command for every follower of Jesus. In fact, John Piper once said, there are three types of Christians: zealous goers, zealous senders, and the disobedient. And so it begs the question, we have to ask ourselves, which category do I fit in today? This idea of being a witness in all these contexts is just as true for me and our family as it is for you. Each one of us needs to be witnessing locally and going and sending globally. And so yes, in one sense, our family is called to Japan, and that's an obvious part of the ends of the earth. And we have this vision. We have vision in different projects, but I'm just gonna talk about one of them right now, regionally, that over the next 2 years, our goal is to start and strengthen a network of churches from the few partner churches we have along the train line that my family lives close to. Our train line, which is called the Seibu Ikebukuro line, runs between Ikebukuro in the center of Tokyo, northwest out to a town called Tokorozawa. And in between those two cities, I estimate that there are approximately 1.5 million Japanese people who live within 10-minute walk of one of those stations along that line. And I would like to see that network of churches plant new churches and make disciples who can make disciples who can make disciples so that every one of those 1.5 million people has the chance to hear the gospel and make a decision about Jesus. And so that's the big vision that we're asking for in that region. And so that's the regional vision. It's a part of our larger vision that I oversee over all of Japan. But at the same time, our family, the Luskies, we've been sent to a specific neighborhood as Christians, haven't we? We've been sent to a specific neighborhood in a specific city, and we're still called to witness in our location, our local area, our Jerusalem for right now in this season. And so we're called to love the Takatsuji family around the corner, whose daughters are close in age to our kids' age and who have expressed an interest in faith. We're called to love the grandfather across the street, Sunouchi-san. He's got his daughter, his adult daughter, and his granddaughter come by almost every day. We're called to love Eriko, our neighbor in her 50s, who just spent most of the last year caring for her elderly sick father all by herself until he passed away this last spring. Those are my neighbors. Those are the people I pray for. Those are people I've been called to in my local area. And so we have that same call that you do, to be a witness in every context. So where is your Jerusalem? Where is your Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth? You don't need to be involved in every place or in every country or even with every person, but do you know your neighbor's name? Do you know your neighbor's names, guys? Do you pray for them? Are you active in your city? And do you have a touch in the world somewhere? Is there a gap in one of those areas as I'm talking to you, like, yeah, I need to take a step there today? And is there anything that is seemingly blocking your way? Because God has called you to be a witness in every context. Not only has he called you to that, but he's in that calling, he's also called you to be overcoming every challenge. That's the next one. I gotta ask, anyone here have a life free of difficulty? A life free of pain and suffering? Right? If you got your hand raised, you're a liar. Right? We all have struggle. In fact, Jesus warned us about this. He said, in this world you will have trouble, but I give you my, what? Peace. I give you my peace. Especially if you're living life on mission for God, you will face challenges. And the enemy will try and come for you. And if he can't come for you, he will come for your family. I can't tell you the amount of missionary families I know who are going through some unexplained health issues that come up suddenly or see their children come under spiritual attack. And in any context, in this context, here in America, you may face rejection or persecution or opposition from authorities at work who don't want you to share your faith, or in some places in the world, from the government. And that should not surprise us. If you look at the book of Acts, the apostles also had to deal with these very things. But Jesus told his disciples in our passage today, chapter 1, verse 8, again, I want you to read it and look at it. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. God promises that in the midst of challenge, he will supply you with what you need to persevere. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Amen? And so we can trust in him to bring it to completion, and the power we have comes from the Holy Spirit. More on that in just a moment. But it's a funny thing when you just start believing what God says. It's a funny thing when you read the Bible and say, you know what, I'm just gonna believe it. I'm just gonna take it and believe what it says. Because when you're on mission, you end up doing some strange things. Like, you stop talking about God opening and closing doors. You know how we say, like, well, if God opens a door, then I'll know where I'm supposed to be. I used to say that, but I don't talk like that as much anymore, because we've already established here that in Matthew 28, Acts 1:8, there are promises from God here, a calling for all believers to go and do. And so when you have a calling, when you're on mission, you stop seeing closed doors and you start seeing obstacles that need to be overcome. You know, when I was called to first, not to become a missionary, but to really start a partnership with a Japanese church as a pastor with my church. And it's a funny thing when you've got a calling. It's a funny thing when you have a calling. It just feels like, I don't see it as God closing a door. If something comes out, I go, that's just an obstacle I got to jump over. I had a friend who felt a calling to foster two kids, join the foster. She picked up two teenagers. She had two kids, and then they brought in a 13-year-old and a 12-year-old. Instantly went from 2 to 4. And that was a calling. She called me sometimes. She's like, I don't know if I'm ready for this calling. This is hard. But if you get a calling from God, there are no doors that get closed. Sometimes there's doors to break down. You get what I'm saying? I'm thinking about the story of Jonah. Jonah tries to run away from his calling from God, this call to go and preach to a people of a city called Nineveh, but Jonah doesn't want to go. Have you ever been there where God's like, hey, I want you to do this, and you're like, I will do anything but that, Jesus. Like, I'll start 1,000,000 Bible studies. I will read my Bible every day. I go left as hard as you can. Just don't make me go right. And that's Jonah. So he wants to go anywhere but Nineveh. He's mad at God about what God's called him to do. And so what does he do? He takes a ship to Tarshish, which is in the opposite direction. Now, if Jonah talked like we do today, here's what he would say. He would say, you know, at one point I was praying about being headed to Nineveh, but God really closed that door, y'all. He closed that door. In fact, I was praying about things, and God really just opened the door for me to go serve in Tarshish. I was in the harbor, and this boat was there, and it was cheap. I was able to go. An opportunity. There was a spot on the boat. And so I ran through that open door, guys. And I want to be like, that is not an open door. That is disobedience, man. Did God send the boat? No, Satan sent the boat. God sent the storm. God sent the storm to wreck the boat and bring Jonah back into the calling he had for his life. And that's the other thing about challenge, the hard thing I have to say today. God will allow challenge in your life to help you grow, yes, and to get you back into the center of the mission he has for you. And so when we refuse to step into calling, God will sometimes use challenge and struggle to accomplish his call in your life. And so in Acts 1:8, the disciples, they receive this calling that they'll be witnesses to the ends of the earth. But if you read through the book of Acts from there, chapter 2 and onward, what happens? They go back to Jerusalem, and then they receive the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, just like Jesus promised. And then they stay put and don't go anywhere for like 5 chapters, right? And like good things happen and people come to Christ, but they forget about this calling that Jesus gave them to go out and make disciples to the ends of the earth in every context. Even though they've received power, even though they've had great success, they fail to remember to be witnesses. And this goes on through chapter 7. You can read it all the way up to chapter 7 of the book of Acts, and it culminates in chapter 8, verse 1. I want to put it on the screen so you can read it. It says, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except for the apostles. God allows persecution to hit the early church. And the result is they're scattered outward from Jerusalem. Why? Because though through that scattering, Acts 1:8 begins to finally happen. If you read it, go home and read Acts chapter 8 right after this passage. The very next passage is Philip witnessing in Samaria. And then he goes from there and he witnesses to an Ethiopian eunuch, to another person of another culture, another people group. He begins to make disciples to the ends of the earth. And he would have never been there except for the persecution that God allowed to happen. And the gospel continues to grow from that point in the book of Acts, to grow and to grow, even through Paul's missionary journeys with Barnabas out of Acts 13 in the church at Antioch and beyond. And so the point I want you to see, and it's not an easy point, but the point I want you to see is, if you don't Acts 1:8, God might Acts 8:1 to you. See, if you and I choose to run away from our mission as believers, or choose to selectively ignore our calling to be witnesses, even to the ends of the earth, sometimes God chooses to allow challenge and difficulty in our life to help us find our way back to that calling. The good news is, just like here in the book of Acts, and in the midst of those challenges, God will sustain you and equip you. You are called to be a witness in every context, overcoming every challenge, and with every confidence in him as the center. Let's look at that last one. Here's how we're going to land the plane today. How is it that we can stand up in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of challenge? How is it that we can courageously live out our faith? Here it is. Because we have confidence in God, that the Holy Spirit is in us and is working. It has nothing to do with your talent. It has nothing to do with your capacity. It has everything to do with his ability His ability to do more than we could ever ask or even imagine. And so God will help you overcome challenge when you put him at the center. It's what allows us to step out courageously in faith in difficult contexts, both here locally and globally. Like my family, guys, my family lives in one of the most difficult spiritual contexts in the world, a place where there's just spiritual opposition to the gospel everywhere, and the second largest unreached people group on earth. And yet even there, we see God moving. Last year in one of our missionary teams, we saw five Japanese believers trained up to share the gospel in their own context. And in a period of 8 weeks, we saw all five of them lead another person to Christ. That's amazing. Before we came home for the summer, I wanted to count up in some of our church partners just a couple of months before we left what's been happening in some of our church partners. And I counted up 18 new baptisms that I was aware of in our church partners in Japan, including a mother and daughter who got baptized together and a young man who was neglected by his father, not let outside of his house or to attend school even until he was 12. I'm talking, this neighborhood in Japan had no idea this kid existed until he was 12. And then they found him in social services, took him out of that house, that neglectful, abusive situation. They put him with a Christian Japanese home as a foster situation. He turned 20 this last year, and he just accepted Christ and got baptized. Praise the Lord. That's incredible in a context where missionaries can go for years without seeing someone make a decision for Jesus. But it's just the beginning. How can we have this kind of confidence that this is going to happen, even in the face of great challenge in our lives and in our context? Well, because we believe what the Bible tells us. We believe what he says, told us in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It says this, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless someone is sent? And as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." So follow this verse we just read, guys. Follow it for a second, because it goes down this pathway. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And for that to happen, they have to believe. And for them to believe, they have to hear. And for them to hear, they have to have someone preach. And to preach, someone to be preaching, they have to be sent. And so if we send, does the gospel get preached? Yeah, the Bible tells us it does. And if the gospel gets preached, do some people hear it? Yes. And when people hear it, not all believe, but this verse says that some will believe. And those who believe, do they call on the name of the Lord? Yes. This is what I'm getting at. We can have confidence that if we go, if we obey and are God's witnesses to the ends of earth, that no matter how difficult the soil, no matter how unreached the people group, no matter how challenging the circumstances that we might face, we know that someone is coming out. Someone is coming out. Someone is going to find hope and salvation in Jesus Christ. Someone who would not have otherwise have had the opportunity to hear about the God who loves them and sent his son to die for them so that they could be saved and welcomed back into his family as a son or daughter of God. Man, that's good news. We need to believe that. That's why we do this, because we have confidence that God will do it. And so I don't know about you, but that's the kind of mission. That's the kind of purpose I want to be on, not some sort of coasting through life sort of mission, but the kind of life that follows Jesus wherever he goes, even to the ends of the earth. And so for each one of us here today, I believe that God is asking us to get involved somewhere, some way with this mission. Where is God asking you to step into being his witness in every context, especially as it relates to the ends of the earth? So I want to offer three possibilities here as I close, so three next steps for you as it relates to Japan. The first is to pray. We have a group of people that prays for us and the Japan Initiative. We send out updates from our family, and we pray every month on Zoom, every fourth Monday of the month at 7:30 p.m. Central Time. In fact, our next one is tomorrow, so you can come to that on Zoom, or you can sign up to receive updates from us. There's a sign-up sheet out in the lobby, and I think there's a QR code that you can sign up and sign up for that. So would you lift us up? Second is, would you give? We're so thankful for the support that Crosspoint Church gives to us to send us to Japan. We could not do this without you. And so as you generously give here at Crosspoint, Crosspoint is able to send us and other missionaries out to some of the most unreached places in the world. But we're also supported by many individuals and families who want to see this work in Japan go forward. And so if you'd like to partner with us, you can do that today. And the last way is to go. We have opportunities in the summer of 2025 for you to join us, come out and serve with us in Converge's Impact Internship Program. And you can join our team in Tokyo and Osaka. You can also go to Converge's Missionary Discovery and Assessment. It's a special week-long program in Orlando that helps equip you and see where you're at, and if you feel like God might be leading you into the missions field. And so if you're interested in any of those opportunities, pray, give, or go, you can sign up via the QR code here, or you can, in the lobby, there's some sign up for prayer, and you can talk to me. Especially if you want to go, I'd love to just chat with you, give you some more information, and kind of get to know you. And so if that's something you want to do, I'll be around after the service. I'd love to speak with you. Guys, we are all called to be witnesses. We are all called to this mission in some way, shape, or form, whether we zealously go or we zealously send. The question is, where is God calling you? Let's pray. God, so thankful for this church, so thankful for just their witness here in this area, in this city, the way they're welcoming to people from wherever they are, whether it's me coming from Pennsylvania or people coming from another country, the hospitality they show, God, is the gospel. And so, God, I pray that you continue to increase their faith and give them favor in this area. God, that you would challenge each one of us today not to leave any part of this aside, but to say, God, my calling is to go and make disciples of all the ethnic, of all the people groups. God, how are you calling me to do that? And if there's someone here today, God, who's called to go, then God, I don't want to shrink away from that. I want to call boldly for that. And for others of us who are called to send and called to encourage, God, would you help us do that zealously too? But let each one of us have a part to play in this great commission to share this gospel, this love of God that's changed our hearts so much that we just can't help but share it with other people. We love you. So in your name we pray. Amen.